What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Homework Assignment Podcast. I'm your host. Probably going to stop saying that because I feel like we get a lot of repetitive people listening to this podcast. You already know who I am. But welcome back, guys. It's we missed last week's podcast. I apologize for that. We're missing less and less as the time goes on. I was actually on vacation, and the week before, I just had a lot of stuff going on. I think one of the beneficial things, or something that sets this podcast about entrepreneurship, growth, and success in home and in work apart from others, is that we're a young company that has been blessed due to hard work and putting in time and consistency. We've been blessed to really surpass kind of several different milestones and jump several different levels of success early on. And so one of the beautiful things about that is, as we do these podcasts, you guys get to not only kind of get that, you know, coaching or that life experience, lessons that, you know, so many other people give you, but you also get to kind of see us go through some trial and error. Get to see what, like, if we go back to podcast number two or three, my philosophy or what I believe works may be a little bit tweaked compared to now, or maybe different now than it was then, because I realized, like, hey, okay, this actually was working. But then when we hit X amount of dollars, or when we got to X amount of people working for us, all of a sudden that didn't work anymore. And now we had to tweak it. And so I think that is something, you know, something that we're able to give you guys as far as, you know, we're in the now. We're, you know, a company that we've been here for 4 years. We've broken several different revenue barriers in the first 2 years that people take 5 years to pass. And, you know, with that fast growth comes problems that many companies probably don't get to experience, but also comes amazing life experiences and amazing stories. And I'm trying to figure out what to call this segment to really kind of be able just to sit here and just kind of brain dump on you guys some of the past experiences that have happened. Are you tying your shoe or something?
No.
What is that?
One of your protein drinks, because I need it.
At least it's protein, guys. Protein! I'm like, look at this producer, freaking crinkly rapper noises while I'm recording.
Well, I don't eat all day at work. And like, I get home and I'm just like stomach grumbling and
about
to
mic?
Kill somebody. It's right here.
They can't even hear you either.
Yes, they can.
Gosh, guys. We currently have a job opening, producer.
For a lame podcast? Just kidding.
Whoa. Ooh, that one's getting handled off screen. What was I even talking about? Oh, we're trying to figure out a segment name. We'll have one for you soon to where we can really just kind of document not so much the coaching part, but also like what we're going through, things that are new that aren't necessarily, you know, maybe something that we can't teach too much on of, or we don't have a lot of experience on, but that we're kind of going through. And I do feel like there's valuable insight in those areas. I love listening to people who are, you know, on the come up, and they're talking about these problems, and I learned something new from them, and they've been in business a year, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. You know, you can always learn something. So anyways, I really hope you guys are enjoying this podcast. We really care about it. We really care about giving back. I just want to share all the information, all the experiences of everything going on, because I feel like, even with technology, I know it may sound stupid, but I feel like it was so hard to find people that could teach me specific things I needed to learn. And I had to search through millions of podcasts and stuff and end up finding it, obviously, but I'm hoping we can cover everything in this one podcast, and you guys can be able to get everything you need. I know that may not be possible in the current, but I can assure you that is what we're striving for. So, well, this last week was 4th of July. I actually took my family to Newport, California. We tend to go there almost every year. And we stay at Marriott Resort. It's really awesome. It's beautiful. Obviously, you guys know the weather. It's phenomenal compared to Arizona. Coming back this time around was really deadly. From like 70 degree weather to Death Valley was, we're driving through, it was 124. And I think even yesterday in Gilbert, it was 114 degrees. It was, or on Monday, it was absolutely disgusting, but, it was a good week. And, you know, I learned quite a bit of, new lessons or new things. And it seems like every time I leave to, oh, I'm itching my back because I have a sunburn. Sunburns get itchy, bro. Every time I go out of town, I realize new things. I realize what works, what's working in my company, what's not working in my company. Because, you know, the true test, and you'll hear this all the time, the true test of a successful company is, can you leave for 2 months? Can you walk out of your business and it still progress? Can it still generate revenue? Can it still make profit? The answer is no, then you have a long way to go, right? And I'm not there yet. I'm not saying that. I remember when I first, you know, at 2 year mark, even when we had a team and stuff, like I dreaded going out of town because, you know, I was still handling way too many things. I wasn't delegating properly. You know, when I, at the beginning, like it just, I just was, yeah, I was just delegating nothing and I was doing too much. And so like, I couldn't even be there. I couldn't even have that quality time because I was consistently bombarded with phone calls. I was solving problems. I was stressed, in a bad mood because I'd wake up and I'd have some stupid text. I'm like, now I got to deal with this. And anyways, it just sucked. And so like, fast forward now, like, hey, I was able to go for a week. I didn't have any issues whatsoever. Everything went really smooth. The communication with our clients were great. They knew we were out of town. They didn't bug me any, which is phenomenal. Also means there wasn't really any emergencies or problems. So, that was 1 week. I think at this point I could probably go 2 weeks, depending on the quarter. I think I can go 2 weeks, maybe three. But my goal is to get 2 months. I think 2 months is really the true test of just being able to really know that, like, hey, I'm succeeding. I'm on the right track. But those are the moments to really learn where you're at in your business. If you guys don't know how successful your company is, if you guys have no clue where you stand, I invite you to leave for a week. Leave for a week. Obviously you have you run your company, or if you're in working within a company, there's responsibilities you have. You know, it's, If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably not on a 9-to-5. So there's responsibilities are go outside of a 9-to-5 time frame. So there's probably still things you have to do, but I'm talking about being able to be gone and really see that company and see the responsibilities that you're in charge of thrive and actually be executed and things, progress. That is the true test. So real quick, if you guys wonder where your company stands, I highly invite you to go do that because it'll be an eye-opening experience. It may be painful, so be prepared, or it may be like, wow, you know what? I'm doing things pretty good. And if that's the case, don't get comfortable, because when you get comfortable, storms come and they knock you off your boat. And just on that topic, an experience that I had was last year was, every year has been great, but last year was one of the milestone marks for me of having a certain amount of money in the bank. I actually broke 7 figures of cash in a bank account. And this was a revenue bank account for the company. It wasn't my personal. But it was a cool thing, right? Like, hey, you know, there's, you know, 7 figures in this account right now. And that's awesome. Like I've never seen that much money that I've been in charge of in one place. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. I took screenshots of it and I didn't post it because it's just not who I am. But like, to me, it was just like, it was an accomplishment. It felt awesome. And even though that money wasn't profit, but like, again, just having that amount of money. And I got a little comfortable. I'm like, okay, sales were good. We got a lot of stuff going on. We're making money. We're getting new jobs and deposits and things are moving forward. I kind of know where our money is. Like things are good. And so with seeing that big number and feeling the comfortability that came from it, I actually let my sales slide. I let my prospects slide. I slid a little bit on marketing because I'm like, hey, you know, we're good. We have a lot in the pipeline. Like, I don't need to focus more on marketing. Like, I kind of honestly checked out a little bit mentally, and it was one of the biggest and most painful mistakes I made because I became a company several months later that was owed a ton of money. My accounts receivables was in the seven figures as well, very high. And I had very little in the bank account because I wasn't managing my sales. I wasn't managing my cash because I just was I don't want to say shell shocked, because it wasn't like I'm like, oh dude, I'm rich. That wasn't the case. It was just like, I just kind of got comfortable. And then 6 months later, I realized I'm 2 months away from a really big problem. And I just so happened to have, we're going to Texas. So I was about to take another week off work. And I'm like, holy cow. Like, that was an eye-opening experience on just really do not get comfortable. I think, I've read so many books at this point. I'm sure I can find it, but I believe, maybe it's Grant Cardone, but whoever it is, the concept is to have a broke mindset. And that resonates really hard with me because after that experience, I realized I am never comfortable. I'm never in a good enough place. I am never successful enough. And I'm not saying don't identify and have those moments where you can celebrate. You should. When you're completing, you know, accomplishments and you're hitting goals and you're progressing, like, you should celebrate that. You have to focus on the wins, but at the same time, you have to maintain in vision, in view, the ultimate goal, right? Because it is easy to get sidetracked, right? If you're trying to be a billionaire and you're sitting there with half a billion dollars in the bank, doing whatever it could be very easily to get sidetracked and get a little comfortable. And honestly, it probably wouldn't hurt like it hurt me. You'd probably be just fine. But years pass on and all of a sudden you didn't get to where you had always wanted to be. Lived a phenomenal life. I mean, an amazing life, but you just never got there, right? And so comfortability can really kill. And I think, I don't know. Again, this is just like, right now I'm just kind of going through some of the lessons I've learned recently, and they may lead to other memories, but I just want to share some of that stuff with you guys. Comfortability can kill, and it killed me at some point, because, you know, even though it was so hard, because it was like, as a company that revenues as much as we do, to really be sitting there and being like, seeing all this money that I couldn't touch, millions of dollars that I couldn't touch, and trying to figure out how I was going to pull enough money in to pay this, pay that big payment, this payment, give people this, this, and this. It was just, it was absurd. I was like, I never, ever want to be here again. And I mean, I could go into, you know, cash flow control and cash management reports, all that kind of stuff. It's definitely important, but at the end of the day, comfortability kills. And so, that was definitely a really important lesson I learned, that I'm never going to forget. But recently I joined the Faction Foundation. I talked a little bit about it in my last podcast. And I had a meeting yesterday, and in this meeting we were, one of the coaches was Will Grimes, who, is an amazing businessman, very successful. He was in the Marine Corps for a while. And he is just a hard baller. And he's not for everybody. And I say that with a lot of love. He definitely, he's hard. He's hard. And that's what I need. I loved it. Thought it was freaking phenomenal. It's like that one football coach that no matter how good you do, he's just like, dude, not acceptable. Be better. Like, and anyways, at the end of the day, the lesson yesterday, we were talking about, a little bit about failure. And I learned something that I literally couldn't sleep last night because it was sitting in my head. And it's kind of like those nights where you just can't sleep because you're thinking about work or you're thinking about all the things you got to do. You're just anxious and flustered. Like, last night I couldn't sleep because what they said was, so many times, and this is so true, guys, take note. So many times I'm sorry. So many times quitting gets mistaken for failure. Hope I'm saying that right. But in essence, there are so many times where, hey, you know what? I'm on a diet. Okay. This is the best example to put. I'm on a diet. And you do good for a week. And then on that Monday, you failed. You had a donut. You're mad at yourself. You failed, right? That in essence really isn't, yes, it's failing as far as like you failed to maintain, but you also quit because subconsciously, or, you know, even if you knew what you're doing in the moment, which you had to have, right? Like you chose to give up. You chose to quit on your diet in that moment. And so many people go through and they're like, oh man, yeah, I failed. I did good for a week, but I failed. I'm going to try again. You're not failing, you're quitting. And failing is when you did everything possible to do something and it just didn't happen. Like if you're on a football field and you're a team, right? And everybody did everything they could, but that other team was just better. That is a failure. But if you're on that football team and three guys on the O-line just gave half-ass performances, that's not failure. It's failure on the large scale, but those guys quit. They didn't fail. They quit, right? So that just stuck with me. I'm like, holy cow, this just solved so many issues for me because whether it's a diet, whether it's a system that we keep trying to implement, and like at the end of the day, people are quitting. I'm quitting at certain things and I'm seeing it as failure. Oh, got to dust myself, get up and do it again, which I'm not saying that one, we should do that, right? We should do that. But to understand that it's quitting, oh, that just makes me angry. Like, I don't want to be a quitter, right? And so like all last night, I'm sitting here. I'm like, okay, just sorting through all these different things in the last several months. I'm like, okay, did I quit at this or did I fail this? Did I quit it? Did I fail it? Like, and I was just kind of going through and I'm like, dude, it was crazy how, I mean, this may be dramatic, but just how life-changing that has been in the last 24 hours for me. Like, I do not want to be a quitter. I don't think anybody wants to be a quitter. But when you realize you're quitting, when you're realizing that you're giving up the self-control to allow yourself to succumb to something for whatever reason, man, I just felt like I deserved a donut. So you broke your diet, like whatever it is, you're quitting. You're literally quitting. And, like I said, that's just resonated with me. And I think the next week to 2 weeks are going to be very impactful for me because so many things that I've been consistently trying to do, trying to get done, trying to get other people to do are actually going to finally get done because I'm not going to accept myself quitting. I'm going to give it my all and be 100% in instead of saying, oh, you know what? If I fail, no big deal. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to go at it again. If I do truly fail, that is exactly what's going to happen, but I'm definitely not going to quit. So guys, if you guys are not in coaching programs, if you guys don't have any mentors, if you're not in anything that is pushing you and to be better and that's teaching you, you guys are missing out on so much. You guys are truly missing out on so much. I 100% can testify literally that you guys are just missing out on such a huge portion of progress, such a huge portion of climbing this ladder. You're going one step at a time. Coaching takes you 2 to 3 at a time. It's absolutely phenomenal. So everybody needs a coach. I think I talked about this on episode, I don't know. It was like in the double, yeah.
Hard to say at this point. It's something that gets brought up a lot between whether it's mentorship or coaching, or in a lack of better terms, just communication. Communication is so key, whether it's to have a successful marriage or business, which I really wanted to highlight. When you went out of town, the first thing you did when you came back was ask everyone who was here on the team, what went wrong, what could have been better. That way, when you leave the next time, you can set us up a little bit better for success and not have maybe some problems you didn't know about. Right. And so I know as in a CEO and a leader, it's hard to do that. You don't want to seem vulnerable, but it's very important to communicate in all aspects, whether you're inferior or superior, it doesn't matter. There's guidance in everything. So,
well, and that's that, yeah. Like that is the way that everybody would hope someone on their team would take it. Right. But then you have the other side of that. The other side of that is, oh, like, hey, like I think it was a mistake. I haven't really thought about it, but just right off the top of my head, I think it was probably a mistake to consistently be, when we were making so many changes, I consistently was, hey, guys, I'm learning too. Like, this is new for me too. Like, I've never done this before. And so, you know, I'm going to make mistakes. And I was presenting that vulnerability out there. And when you do that, you got the people like with this, like, hey, no, that's great. Yeah, let's make it better. Then you got the people that feed off of it, right? And so there were definitely moments where I felt like all of a sudden the attitude towards me or the way people were taking what I was saying to do, they took it so much more lightly and differently, almost doubting if that was correct because I was showing that vulnerability, like, hey, the system's new to me, so this is what I want you to do, but we're going to go through a trial. Like, well, that's not going to work, right? And he doesn't even know if it's going to work. Like, and so I think that was a mistake to a point. But I also think that comes to say a lot about the people who are on the team, right? The type of people they are. But like that vulnerability also bit me in the butt big time, because at the end of the day, even if that's the case, there are still reasons for every decision like I make as a business owner, right? You know what I mean? So, I think a lot in the world right now, I see a lot of people like, oh, my boss has this idea and whatnot. And I know that's not going to work. I know this is going to work. And I told him about it and he didn't like the idea or shot it down, or like, hey, my boss or my manager doesn't listen to my ideas. Like, I need to be heard. I have great ideas. That is true. Team people have great ideas, and a good leader will listen, he'll take it in, and he'll be able to capitalize on those things, right? But at the end of the day, what people still need to realize is like, hey, that person who's in charge also gets to call the shots, and they also know what they're doing, right? So like, hey, this person, like producing, Kyle's producing, right? His assistant, like if his assistant's like, nah, we need to set up the camera this way, and Kyle's like, you're saying no, and he's like, well, this is going to, at the end of the day, you probably have done it before and you know exactly why it's not going to work. And it's a different point than what he's making, but you already know it's not going to work because of X, Y, Z. That's a great moment for obviously you to teach him that. Right. But at the same time, like, you know that because you've probably made that mistake before. You did that and you realized it didn't work. And so, you know, at the end of the day, people, you know, this whole world of everybody's feelings matter. And, you know, my opinion needs to be heard. But like that stuff is just getting annoying, because at the end of the day, it's like, hey, the person who's leading, the person who's in charge, they're in charge for a reason. And even if you present an idea and it gets heard and it gets turned down, you better do what that decision is 100%. Because you want the company to be better. And you know what? If it does fail, that's a learning lesson for the owner 100%. But there's probably a good reason whoever's in charge is telling you to do that, because they probably made that mistake before. And I've felt like that a lot. Like, dude, like, I get what you're saying, but no. And it's not making sense to you right now. Let me try and explain it. And if you don't get it, okay, well, too bad. It's still going to be this way because I know this isn't going to work because I've done it before. You have an idea, I have the experience, right? You got knowledge, you got wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge and experience of that knowledge being put into action. Like, that is what actually gets stuff done. So, you know, I remember for those of you guys that are new and maybe haven't heard the backstory, like, I have guardianship of my two siblings. One staying with my sister right now, just for trying different parenting style. He's been through the ringer a little bit, and some of the stuff, I'm a little bit of a, not a lover, more of a, I love, but I'm a little bit, I'm hard. I'm hard. I'm a tough lover. Yeah. And he just doesn't like that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's how my dad raised me too. So there's a little bit of that, but my sister's more like, oh, your feelings matter. And I love her to death, but there's so many things I don't agree with her. So I'm like, okay, we're going to try this. So he's over there right now for a little bit, but, my sister, you know, she was going through just this phase where she was like, I don't know if it was everything she was reading online, but like, oh, you know, she got in trouble and we were talking and she was getting upset. She was crying and she just goes, you know, my feelings need to be heard because my feelings matter. And I was like, oh, well, take a step back. Number one, your feelings do matter. I care about you. That's not going to change the outcome here because there's consequences to actions. But even if you do get hurt, you still have to listen and you still have to obey and you still have to do what I say we're going to do. And that goes right into business, right? Home business. It's the same thing. It's like, hey, if I have someone that comes to me an idea and it's great, I like it, but it's not going to work for this. And then they go back and they're just, you know, huffing and puffing. Well, like this isn't going to work, blah, blah. And they're doing everything half-ass. Like that's not going to cut it. And at the same time, you do a half-ass, like, well, maybe it didn't work because you half-assed it.
You quit.
Yeah. You quit 100%. That's probably the name of this episode. Quitting is not failing.
And I think that's the most annoying thing is the negative connotation of failure. Failure's good. You learn from it. If you quit, you didn't even give the chance to learn something.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So that was definitely a huge lesson that resonated with me that I'm really excited to continue just watching just blossom into this beautiful flower. This beautiful flower. But with that being said, you know, as like I said, this podcast is so different because like I'm not this guy who has had a, you know, I don't have a 9-figure company yet. I will, but I don't have it yet. And I haven't been in business 25 years and I haven't been through every single situation that construction presents itself in. And so there are things that I have to learn, but that does not denote the response that I should be having from the people that I hire, that I bring on to the team. That shouldn't change what I say. Like it's almost, unfortunately, business is a little bit like a dictatorship, and it sounds really hard to say that, but it's true, because at the end of the day, the business owner, the people in charge, they're the ones with the risk, the liability. They have the responsibility that goes way beyond that other person's responsibility who's, you know, under them, whether you're a manager, director, or the owner. Like, there's so much more involved. And so it's their butt on the line. So even if you have this great idea on how it should be ran, I 100% agree it should be heard. I strive to definitely hear that, but I do feel like a lot of times, unfortunately, the ideas just they don't work. And it's because I've done it. I realized it didn't work and we're just not doing it. And I feel like it doesn't sit well with a lot of people, and it has to. That's what trusting, you know, your leader, trusting that they know what they're doing. And that goes a lot into, you know, making sure your whole team and everybody understands and they're all focused on the same vision. They're all going to the same place. But there has to be somebody in charge. When you start getting all these, you know, what are they called? The alpha, you know, oh, there's six alphas in a room, blah, blah, blah. And they're all going to butt heads. Like, that's so childish, in my opinion. Like if I were to be in a room with 8 business owners, I mean, I'm talking something like, if I were to put, not going to throw names right now, but if I were to put 8 of the most successful business owners I have relationships with, you know, 9-figure revenue in companies, CEOs of hospital, I mean, just all these people. And we were all told to build a business together. I can guarantee you there would be no arguing. There would be discussions for sure, but there would be no arguing. There would be no puffing of chests. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, I've done this. Like, it would be so collaborative Is that a word? Collaborate? Yeah. It would be so, everybody would be collaborating and it would succeed so well because that whole alpha dog mentality, oh, like, you know, my way or the highway, that crap does not fly in success. It just does not fly. And it may fly for a little bit. People get sometimes luck. I mean, luck is definitely created, but there are also the luck of just drawing the lottery ticket 100%. Like, sometimes people just get there and they get there only for a little bit and then it ends up catching up with them. That type of mentality, like teamwork. I feel like for us at Elder, and maybe Kyle, you can chime into this, but I feel like it's not, titles aren't the, like, really, there's definitely titles, but it's not titles that hover over people like, oh, well, I'm the director of construction, so too bad. Like, it's not like that. I do think we, you know, as a company, we do definitely lack some of the respect of the titles in certain areas, but I hope, and my goal is to create that environment where, yeah, I am the owner, but I'm also a team player. I'm the owner, but I also get my hands dirty and I'm also going to make things happen. I'm also going to get my crap done. I'm going to show up every day. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to do everything that I'm asking you guys to do before I ask you to do it, because that's how you build success. And that's how you be a leader. Because if somebody comes to you and they're like, hey, I need you to eat healthy, and you're 500 pounds, do you think they're going to listen? I used to talk about this all the time with freaking trainers. Like, I remember, and dude, it's great that people are trying, right? But I was in EOS one day and I'm working out and I'm not nearly in shape of what I want to be. I'm in better shape than I have been in the last 5 years. Not as good a shape as I was in high school, eating like 4,000 calories a day playing football, but I'm definitely making progress. And gosh, my back itches so freaking much. It's literally insane. I hate, we got literally fried at Newport. It was like, my wife's back was blistering. It was like UV index was like 14 or something. And like, I'm Mexican, like, I don't burn very easily, so I didn't wear sunscreen. And I literally was definitely lobster that day. So what was I saying? I just got sidetracked. Oh, dude, yeah, I was at EOS, and I'm, like, working out, and this was before the EOS by me was, they just remodeled. I hate the layout, and I don't go there anymore anyways because I do some personal training, but I was working out. I was doing chest because, like, every Monday's International Chest Day. Everybody knows that. And I look to the right, and they have these windows, and they have, like, the Zumba classes or the whatever yoga class. I don't know what they do in there. They do a bunch of different stuff, right?
Oh, those make me so uncomfortable.
Yeah, because you don't want, like, if you're just looking around, all of a sudden, like, five women make eye contact with you and they think you're, like, staring in the room. I'm like,
but why would you make it a transparent window?
Oh, it's funny.
I don't want to look at them and they don't want to be seen.
Yeah. It is a little awkward. Yeah, it's definitely a little awkward. I look in there and there's this, he had to have been at least 350 pounds and he was the Zumba coach. One, hey, I'll give him credit. He was getting his legs up there and he was sweating, and but he had to take breaks and keep going. As he's taking breaks, I'm sitting here, I'm like, dude, I would never, ever, ever take your class. I would never get trained by somebody who, a personal trainer who was 500 pounds. What are they going to teach me? Like, they're not, like, I wouldn't trust anything they say. Now, you put a personal trainer in front of me who's absolutely jacked, healthy, you know, and maybe not even fully jacked, but, like, they work out every day. They're healthy. They're doing the things that they're teaching you. I'm like, okay, that stuff's, I believe that. That's going to work. I see the results, right? And so, you know, and I guess now we're into this whole leadership thing, but, like, leadership, like, that truly is that. But what I will say, you know, and maybe some of you guys have this issue in your businesses, but there are different, not everybody's on the same, like, playing field. It's not an even playing field out there. This isn't like, oh, here's your participation trophy, right? Results are what get rewards. And so, like, for me, if I, you know, being on time is really important, right? But I had it recently, and, you know, anybody in my team listening to this, like, it is what it is. Like, this is how I feel, right? I started doing personal training in the morning, so we had to be here at 7:30 every day. And I'm like, hey, 7:30. Okay, well, this personal trainer that I wanted to work with, apart from health, there was great business opportunities and networking. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do this. Okay. I'm an owner. I wasn't thinking like that's never been my mindset. Like, I'm an owner, do what the hell I want. I don't care what people think. So I go do that, right? But then it ended up bugging. I don't know who it bugged, but it bugged somebody. Somebody is like, oh, well, if you know, RJ gets to show up at, you know, 8 o'clock, why do we have to be here at 7:30? What if we want to show up at 8? And it's like, that's not how this is.
It was me.
Oh, you mother.
It was me. It was me only because.
Was it really you? Shut up. Are you serious?
I'm not a morning person, bro. Oh, and so my God. I got written up for being late, and I was like, bro, what the heck? I was just mad.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Was it really you? Is this a joke?
I wasn't mad at you. It's because I live with your brother, and he...
Yeah, he does it with me. Yeah. Well, and so, and just so you know, actually, I'll talk about standards here in a minute on this podcast, but they're... Like if it's if there's personal development, the whole point of 7:30 was so that people weren't rolling out of bed at 7:50 to get to work, right? 7:30 was an early enough time. We're in construction. Everybody need to be at the office. There's no meetings or anything going on, but it was like, hey, you're in here at the office 7:30. If you have nothing to do, you get personal development time. You can watch videos. You can read the book we're reading, whatever the case is, but you're here at 7:30. But if you have somewhere to be and there's no meeting, then guess what? You can get there at 7:30. Great. But like if you're doing personal development, like if you're like, hey, I'm going to be here at 8 because I'm going to start working out in the morning, that's totally fine because that's personal development. Like I don't have an issue with that, right? So, but anyways, apart from that, that's so funny. That was you, bro. I just want to knock you out right now. But like as far as like the same like playing field levels, like there are definitely, you know, there were a lot of people. And obviously you just explained why you felt that way, right? You're pissed off because you got written up for being late, yeah, right? So, yeah. So this doesn't really pertain to you, which is great because if it did, like, this would be a very awkward podcast right now. But, you know, there's those people who feel like, oh, I'm equal. Like, I should be equal. And every business has those people. There's always those people who come in and they have this entitled, you know, I dealt a lot of, with a lot of this in some of the, places where I serve my mission, you know, sometimes the wealthier side of, you know, places have, you know, those kids that were just, you know, kind of spoiled brats as a kid and everything just happened their way. And so they're always entitled and they go into the world entitled, right? Everywhere they go, whether they get a new job or whatever, they're just, it's me, I'm so-and-so, I'm entitled. And so, you get these people that get entitled and it's so unhealthy because like at the end of the day, you may be crushing it, right? You may be this outstanding employee who's crushing it, doing everything above and beyond, getting promotions. But what in the world makes you think that you're on an equal playing field as the owner? If you want to be on an equal playing field as the owner, you leave that company, you go start your own company, and you go through every damn thing that person went through to earn the title of being the owner of the company. And then you can be on the same level playing field. But until that happens, you have no right. You can be the all-star right hand of the entrepreneur or whatever the case is. Like, but you have no right to do that. Now, with that being said, there are crappy owners out there. There's crappy managers, right? If that's the case, then that, you know, there are people like that out there and it's sad. It sucks. And sometimes they get put in that position and they don't deserve to be in that position and you can just outshine them and take their position. Fantastic. But the people who actually like earn it, like for me, like nobody should be worrying about what I'm doing because I get my stuff done. So if you're not getting your stuff done, you don't talk. And even if you are getting your stuff done, that's great. It'll get noticed. I just read a quote from Warren Buffett. Let me grab my phone. I need to grab this. The man who, all right, here's what it says. Oh, it was Napoleon Hill. It says, the man who does more than he is paid for will soon be paid more than he does. People get this backwards. And this goes into the whole entitlement thing. Like Bro, oh my gosh, it drove me crazy. I had an employee from my company who literally told me when I was, so one, this guy, I mean, he performed when he wanted to perform, but then he would just fall off and it was so irritating. And I would, you know, unfortunately it's like, it's hard. It's, I will admit, it's hard to see the positive when there's so much failure. And I feel like I was able to tell him like, hey man, you're doing great right now. When the times he was, but then he was failing more often than not and just not doing his stuff. So he was quitting essentially. And, you know, so I was always hounding him and I finally just said like, dude, like you need to pick it up. That like, what is going on? You have to pick it up. He's like, well, I'm just underpaid. Bro, that threw me over the edge. You're underpaid. So instead of busting your butt to be worth more money than to be worth the amount of money you think, you're going to half butt, drag your feet, and then come to me and say, well, I'm just worth more money. So if you pay me more money, I'm going to do better. Dude, so glad that guy's gone. And if that ever, if somebody like that ever walks in my company again, I will literally grab him by the neck and throw him out of the front door. That's absolutely absurd. Results get rewards. That, like, dude, if I, right now, for the amount of hours I put in, the amount of work, I literally, when we had a consulting company in here, they actually broke it down to see like, hey, what are you worth per hour? What are the things you do? What is that worth on a market, on the market right now? How many hours do you do this for? How, like, I broke it down, dude. If I could, I'm not going to say it right now because I don't know it specific. You know, I'll ballpark it. I have it written down somewhere. But I was worth like over $700,000 a year. And I don't make that. I don't bring that home personally. But like on a market rate for everything that I do and how much work I put in and all the stuff I execute and the responsibilities I have and the money I generate and the profit I bring, like I am worth so much money and I am not getting paid that right now. If I had that attitude and I dragged my feet, there would be no Elder Contracting. There would be no company. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to do half this stuff because like, when I start making more money, I'll start doing that stuff. Like that doesn't that sound absurd? Yeah, but yet, dude, I don't, but yet you have people that walk in with that attitude and it's like, dude, you are literally not going anywhere with that attitude. You're not going to any company with that attitude. Definitely not my company. Like that is crazy. But why does it feel like so many people have that mentality? Like, have you seen the Instagram reels where it's like, here's how you maximize your off days? Yeah, like so you take, and I'm like, bro, you guys are literally, and here's the deal. Let me back up here. We need those people in this world. We need the people to flip the burgers. Andy Frisella said that. We need the people to serve us the French fries, and they're great people. Some of them are not good people, right? But there's good people out there that are content with managing a McDonald's, a Walmart, making average or decent money just for their life. Like that is okay. There is nothing wrong with that. But in this podcast specifically, in entrepreneurship and what we're talking about, that does not fly. You can't have that attitude. And you definitely, if you are trying to build something, build your empire, if you're trying to build your company to be the best, you can't have people like that in your company. That does not work. And I feel like it's really important to make sure as you're going through that and you're looking, you know, for people, and if this is a tangent, my bad, but if you guys are trying to build a team, the best advice I think that has worked for me is to truly look for the potential in people and understand that leaders are created, they're made, and they're very rarely found. A good leader creates great people. So if you have somebody that doesn't have the experience, that doesn't know anything to do with your trade, but they're like, their attitude's great, for example, I would take that person and I would mold them and I would build them and I would help them get to exactly where they needed to be to succeed. And what, like, I would build them. Right. So, that, like, being able to see the potential, like on our call Monday, where we were talking about that quitting versus failing thing, whatever, they also talked about, I asked a question. I said, okay, when do you know, where's the line between, and this is a different conversation. You know what? I'm going to back up to that. Let me get to this real quick. So this makes a little bit more sense. One of the other big lessons on this coaching program that I really loved was about standards. So this program I'm in, the Faction Foundation, freaking awesome, is they set a standard that when you're on, there's a video call on Monday mornings, and then there's a video call, it's Monday at 12, or if you can't make that one, they have one at 7 a.m. on Tuesday, or they have one at 5 p.m. on Tuesday, my time. And it obviously, depending where you're at, that time changes. But they're, one of their standards is you can't be walking, running, doing anything. You have to be sitting down. You have to be taking notes. Thought that was super cool. Well, the first day, maybe it was the second day, someone was driving. And they said, hey, man, why are you driving? They like got on him. And he was like, oh, well, I'm actually going to this big merger, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I didn't ask, you know, for a big headed answer about how important it is. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you breaking the standard? And they kicked him off. They booted him from that call, not the program, booted him from that call. Then they did it again yesterday. And I'm like, holy cow, that is awesome. Because standards are important, right? And I'm already kind of losing my train of thought of where I was going to go with this. So I'm going to keep going on this and hopefully it comes to me. But the standard is extremely important. And the question is like, what standards do we have? What standards do you guys have in your companies and in the people that are part of your team? Is there a standard? Like, what is that standard? And I feel like we have a ton of standards. Like, we have our, what's this called? I'm having a brain fog.
But like a PPFs or something?
No, what are those called behind us?
Oh, yeah. Those are...
Oh, no. It just, it's right on top of my tongue. I'm like kind of...
They're like basically the core values. That's,
oh, gosh. We have our core values. Integrity, family, and excellence. Those are standards, 100%. But it got me thinking. I'm like, okay, well, where are the standards like this? Like, hey, dude, if you're, when you're on meetings, you do this, you do this. If you're not doing this, you lose the opportunity for the meeting. Like... those standards, to actually set those, are game changing, right? And so like last night I went through and I'm like, okay, I set all these different standards I'm going to actually present to our team on Friday. And, you know, sometimes I think, and I'm sure there's more people like me in the boat, but sometimes as a business owner, it is fear. I'm not going to lie. I get fearful that if I set a certain tone or standard or a certain rule, that I am going to lose certain people. And so therefore I just don't set that rule. And that can't happen. That just can't happen, because that tone, that standard that's set, that is who you are. And so we have our standards that I think we hold very well to. Obviously we're not perfect in any of them, but we hold very well. But then it got me thinking of all these little standards, the little things, right? Like, you know, they always say that in relationship, the little things matter. It's not about the fat ring on your finger. It's about the quality time when you come home for a half hour. Can I just buy you a bigger ring? I'm just kidding. Like, I'll give you quality time, but just not right now. I'll just get you a ring for this week and the next week I'll give you some time. but it's true. The little things matter. And so I'm like, okay. So I went through and I'm like, okay, this is a new standard. And I'm sitting there making it. And it's so sad. It's sad and it's hard. Like, I'm not saying it's sad that like the situation, I'm saying like it hurts to know or to feel that like, hey, this person does great, but like, I don't know if they can do this. Right. And so like, that's where I had to step back and be like, okay, there's two things here. Number one, I need to train them, make them, help them succeed in that. And number two, if they don't, if they just can't cut it after everything I've tried, then guess what? They're gone. It is what it is, and it has nothing to do with us. I've always struggled with this, like something, and I think for me, it's a little bit, well, hey, it's probably is for a lot of you guys that are small business owners, because 98% of small businesses in the United States are family owned and operated, right? So like for me, it's like family. Like it's like, hey, if this, you know, oh, I know this guy struggles with this already. If I set this, man, this dude might not be working for my company in 5 months. Like, and can I actually hold to it? But like standards have to be set, because cancer can grow. Weak links can break the chain. You have to have standards. And I'm excited to present these standards, because I think these are things that are going to, I know they are things that are going to take us to the next level, but I feel like they will weed a few people out, and I pray and I hope that they won't, but they may. And at the end of the day, business and failure, and no, let me back up. Standards don't have anything to do with emotion. Standards do not have anything to do with emotion. That is what I learned. A standard is a standard. If your standard is don't be late, and you are late, you are breaking that standard, no matter the reason. If you did everything you could to get here, guess what? You failed. If you just woke up too late, you forgot, you know, like, or whatever the case is, you left 2 minutes too late, like, doesn't matter. There's opportunity to get better, but at a certain point, obviously, there's a line, you know what I mean? And so it's like, but without standards, there's no direction. There's no direction. There's no vision. Like our standards up on the wall right now, integrity, family, excellence, those guide us definitely in how we want to be, how we want to run our company. It guides us in how we communicate with our clients, guides us in how we communicate with each other, and how, you know, when you come in here, you can look at those and be like, family, okay. Like, and I'm not talking about like, hey, we're going to treat our clients like family. This isn't a talking thing. This is like, no, this is we're a huge family of friends, family members, people that, you know, we've known each other forever. And so there's something special there. But when you come into our atmosphere, when we bring on a new employee, all the events we do, when we're inviting our wives and our children to these events, like, dude, it is definitely a family environment. Excellence, integrity, like you'll be able to notice these things and the way we work and how we do it. But then there's those smaller things that really make up the difference. They really make up the difference. And so, you know, if you guys, and again, I'm excited to report back in a couple of weeks on how these little standards, you know, I may be coming to you guys and being like, hey, you know what? I lost three of my best friends.
Yeah, there might be nobody to produce this podcast. You just don't even know what could happen. It sounds scary.
But then there's the other side of it where everybody steps up, stuff gets done, and we all succeed. Right. And so it's like there's, you know, and I always refer to contractors, right? Because that's the industry we're in. But when I look around in Arizona right now, the amount of contractors, like our license number is like 349,000. That means in Arizona, only in Arizona, there is 349,000 different contractors. They're not all GCs. There's probably, I don't know how many GCs specifically there are, but there's, you know, all these different trades and stuff. But so all these guys that are either, you know, they're running their businesses, right? They have a license or performing a service for money, and they're running a business, whether they're small or big, but it's very congested. And so, you know, I see all these companies that are operating, and they're on a small scale, or they're, you know, people have come to me like, hey man, I'm doing, you know, I did $1 million in sales this entire last 3 years, every single year, but I can't break $1 million. What's wrong? Well, you break down, there's so many key components are probably missing. I know they're missing. And we've actually done this with a few companies already. Like they're missing X through or whatever, V through Z. And they have the other stuff, but also like the standards are missing, right? The team is missing. I had a guy call me, Andrew, and he, you know, he said, hey man, I, you know, he does insanely high end luxurious builds and remodel stuff, and he's a developer and an investor, and he's like, I go through builders, right? Like he's had four builders in the last couple of decades or something like that. And his builder right now is just getting to a little bit old and just isn't going to be able to handle the workflow this guy has. So he's in the market for a new builder to have that relationship to handle his work. And he called me called our company out of the blue and said, hey man, I found you on Google. And the one thing he said was like, he mentioned like, oh, it seems like you guys do good work, which 100% we do. Thanks for noticing. But also he goes, I saw your team. And I'm like, man, you actually have a team. You have people that, and so like, it made me realize, I'm like, there's truly actually, I mean, like on a bigger end scale, these huge companies, commercial companies, government contract companies, like they're big teams and stuff. But like where we are and what we do in remodeling, there are not very many companies that have teams. The team environment, the leadership that goes into it, the standards that are set, everything that your team does as a team is what literally steers your company. So if you have standards of very loose standards, or you don't have standards at all, like you can definitely do some business, but you're going to hit a point that you can't break because you are missing everything underneath, right? And that goes so much deeper into, you know, I've talked about this before, numbers and just business stuff in general, but the team really drives the traffic. I talked about momentum in my last podcast, like momentum that me and my other sales guy had, like our team worked together like last month, like that momentum was crazy. We still are having that moment. Like teamwork is so important. So, you know, standards are extremely important. If you guys don't have any standards at all, that is one thing you need to stop in your tracks right now and make standards, build a standard for your company, for who you guys are, right? If you are a pest control company, who is Red Knox Pest Control? Who is Green Mango Pest Control? Who is Elder Contracting? Oh, it's just their contracting company. Okay. Or, oh, they're a contracting company and dude, their communication is great. Their work is great. Their team is amazing. Everybody treats you like you are part of the company and you're the client. Like you want that answer to be so much more detailed, have so many more adjectives and you know, an actual explanation of who you are and what it means to be a part of Elder Contracting. Or that company. They're, you know, I've talked about Brad Levin AFT here, and I really admire that company because they didn't just create a reputation and quality of building homes. They created a reputation of their team, of everybody that's involved and everybody's roles and the experience and the knowledge and just how everybody works together. Everybody has their roles, has their responsibility, and everybody executes, and the entire company is reflected based on what everybody does and not just on Brad Levitt, the owner. Like when people ask me about that company, I'm like, oh, dude, I don't say, oh, yeah, Brad's amazing, which I definitely talk about Brad. Brad, you are freaking phenomenal. I 100% talk about you all the time. But the company, like, oh yeah, Brad and his team, those are the words I use because that is who they are. It isn't just Brad. It's his entire team and everything they've built together. That is how you create a successful company. If you are just in it for me, that's not going to work. Every company has a face, sure, but there are so many more moving parts to that make the dream work. So anyways, I hope I didn't get like too off topic so much, but definitely some really cool things, cool lessons I've learned, and I hope they're beneficial, and I definitely will report back on some of the things that we're trying that are new and let you guys know how it worked. I'm very confident in them working, and I'm very confident that our team is going to be able to excel on every single level. And it's important to know everybody has a different weakness and everybody has a different threshold for knowledge and a different speed at learning. So just because people don't catch on and don't grasp, like there has to be definitely time for that to happen. And you may have to tell them 1800 times and you may feel like, why do I have to keep telling you this? Like, why can't you get a hold of it? But You also have to pay attention to the actual progress that's happening in all the areas, because just because this may be their weakness and they're doing good over here, if you focus on that, you may just fire them because, hey, you just can't get this. But that just may be something that will take twice the amount of time as it did Robert over here to learn, right? So you definitely got to follow your gut. You have to understand that not everybody is the same. Everybody learns at a different pace. And you need to make sure that you do your part as a leader to build them and guide them. Also, sometimes those people just don't get it and they never will. And so you know, it's definitely a hard line to figure out when that is the case. And I can't tell you how to do that. Nobody can tell me how to do that. But for the most part, believe in the people you have, because you definitely have them for a reason. And assume responsibility and really taking control of them actually being able to learn and understand what it is you're teaching, what it is you're wanting them to do, and how they're supposed to be working as a team, and be able to make sure that gets executed, because that is your responsibility as a business owner or manager, whatever role you're in. So guys, thanks for joining the Homework Assignment Podcast. Our next episode, we are going to be featuring Cooper Brooks. Cooper is actually just, one, he's awesome. But number two, he's our personal barber. I met Cooper. I had to get a haircut. I went to this haircut place, and this guy just, I clicked online, chose him. And we got talking, and he just happens to be one of the best barbers in the entire nation. He has been voted number one in the nation. He has won several awards, and so he is actually the best. He actually ended up quitting that barbershop and started his own, over here nearby with his fiance. But, now he comes once a month over to our office, and he gets everybody in our company a haircut. It's mandatory, that, you know, the haircuts happen. I just bring him here. He's more expensive, but the cut's good. And then nobody needs to worry about having a haircut because he comes here. And so we're really excited to have him and just to hear his story and kind of break down what are the things that he had to do to get to where he is and to get the reputation that he has as being one of the best barbers in the nation. And so we're really excited to have him. So guys, tune in next week for that episode. In the meantime, really guys, please give us some feedback. We've gotten some feedback, which is great. Drop questions, comments, guys. I want to share with you guys the things that I have done that can definitely help you guys. I have been through some very crazy stuff. I've been through stuff that people don't know about, that they will know about, because I plan on sharing every single aspect of it on the podcast. I've been through things that my friends know that they're going to be able to chime in on, that we've been through together, been through, whether it's family, life, business, you know, the downside, drugs, you know, money. I mean, just literally guys, there's so much I feel like I can offer. So please, if you guys have any questions, put in the comments. We definitely want to get them answered. And we care 100%. We're all in this ride together. So thanks for joining the Homework Assignment Podcast, and we'll see you guys next time.